Dr. Hoffman here. This Intelligent Medicine podcast is brought to you by Super Beats. I personally take Super Beats when I need a power boost. It's my favorite product. Super Beats gives me energy and stamina for my busy day. Right now, get a one-month supply free with your first order. Check out the Dr. Hoffman special right now at intelligentbeats.com. That's intelligentbeats.com. Welcome back to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and today Hoffman Center nutritionist Layla Mutin joins us, as she does every week, for our weekly Q&A with Layla. We've already done part one. Please check it out. Now we're coming to part two. What's in store for us in terms of questions?
Okay, this comes from Matt, and Matt writes, "My 22-year-old brother is experiencing consistent shortness of breath for the past 3 weeks. Just a few things here. He's 5'11", 235 pounds. He exercises daily. He's a bodybuilder, but not on any steroids. His breathing difficulties persist regardless of his physical activity, even when he's at rest, even when he's falling asleep. His oxygen saturation is 99%.
Okay, let's note that what that is. That's very important. Mm-hmm. It's actually an easy test to do. They have little devices, and we have one in our office, where you stick your finger in the device, and it will read out how much oxygen is in your blood. Mm-hmm. And patients who have respiratory problems, you actually see respiratory problems even with people who have like 92% oxygen saturation. That sounds like, wow, my oxygen, 92% saturation, that sounds pretty good. Well, actually, you want, 97, 98, 99.
When so his saturation is good.
His saturation is good. So yeah. It's not like he's got having a compromised oxygen intake or ability to extract oxygen from the air.
So here's some of the criteria. A single bronchodilator treatment and daily antihistamine, no improvement.
Okay, so he's gone to a doctor, and the doctor said, "What?"
And his physician has no diagnosis, but the doctor has performed a chest X-ray, pulmonary function test, EKG, blood work. He has elevated mercury of 10,
wow,
and elevated liver enzymes.
Wow.
He has a history of a few seizures that were the result of artificial sweetener.
Wow.
And no seizures since avoiding, and I can guess it's aspartame.
Yeah.
What do we think is going on?
Well,
What do you think is going on?
Right off the bat, I'll say that this is one of those, it's a little bit of an unusual case. There are people who have air hunger who actually on lung tests do not show any breathing abnormalities, but they have what is a subjective air hunger. And we see this often in patients who have mitral valve prolapse, which is a condition that where there's a heart murmur and they have like a sensation that they can't get a full breath. You could say it's like imagined, but it's not really imagined. This is something that they perceive. And they have a heightened awareness of heart rate, digestion, and breathing. There's actually a medical condition called Ondine's curse, it's Ondine syndrome, but Ondine's curse is from Greek mythology, where demigod named Ondine, I guess he lusted after, this always ends up this way, is that if you lust after the chief god's girlfriend, you get punished. So the chief god, I guess, was Zeus, and he sort of, decided he wanted to have a little fling with Zeus's girlfriend. And Zeus punished him by taking away his involuntary breathing so that he had to think about breathing. So that's a terrible, terrible curse. If he for any time stopped voluntarily breathing, he would suffocate. And then, so that was, a terrible punishment. Some people actually have a little bit that sensation that if they don't pay attention to their breathing, they're going to, not have adequate breathing. Sometimes it's psychosomatic. Sometimes it's anxiety related. Some people are not in touch with their anxiety, and so,
that's true too. Even though he says his brother is absolutely certain it's not, it's a physical ailment, not anxiety. But
I take that with a grain of salt. I'm not saying I doubt the brother, but I'm just, sometimes people are self-aware and sometimes they're not. On the other hand, this is also associated sometimes with magnesium deficiency, and replenishing magnesium can actually restore a sense of normal sensation in breathing. There could be some kind of metabolic acidosis. We'd have to look at blood tests there where acid buildup is causing him to feel the need to breathe more, to exhale gases.
Dr. Hoffman, you think his elevated mercury is displacing his magnesium?
No, I don't think it's as simple as that, but elevated mercury messes up your system, and it can create a wide variety of problems. And, you know, that may be related or maybe unrelated, but it's something to hang our hat on, and I would suggest that he attempt to get chelation to get the mercury out. I can't say that per se, 100%, the mercury is the culprit, but it does mess a lot of things up. And, you know, so far that's the only anomaly we have to hang our hat on, and that's something worth addressing.
I'm actually wondering, he has elevated liver enzymes. He's 5'11", 235.
He's too heavy.
He works out.
He's too heavy. He's got metabolic syndrome, fatty liver,
100%.
Yeah.
Do you think an enlarged liver is going to impede his breathing?
That's a possibility. There may be some pressure of the enlarged liver on his diaphragm. That is possible. But look, the guy's overweight. You know, although he works out, he's got 100%. You know, if we did a glucose tolerance test, this guy would probably have excess insulin. That's not good. He may have, some sort of auto fermentation syndrome where he's producing a lot of abdominal gas, which is making him feel distended. We don't know. You know, these are all possibilities.
Okay. Oh, best of luck to your brother, Matt.
Doesn't that sound like a typical kind of patient who comes to see us? You know, they've gone to a bunch of doctors and everything, it's still mysterious. And this is like a busman's holiday for us, you know, discussing this kind of stuff, because this is what we do in the office. We analyze challenging cases, and, you know, quite often we'll unravel it.
That's true. It's a lot of detective work. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Let's see. Hello, Dr. Hoffman. I love your website. Any advice for a person who is diagnosed with bipolar disorder? And I'd like to know your opinion about mental illness. And if there is a cure, any experience?
Yeah.
Looking forward to hearing from you.
We suddenly got an influx of patients with bipolar disorder.
It's overdiagnosed.
Pardon me?
Isn't it?
Oh, it's
overdiagnosed.
Well, it's very much diagnosed. These days, the problem with bipolar disorders, they're taking kids who would in the past be considered unruly or misbehaving kids, and they're diagnosing them as bipolar. And the reason for that is that they've just extended the drug indications to give these powerful drugs to children who are, you know, throwing temper tantrums and are acting out. Now, I'm not saying that in some cases there's not validity to treating kids with medication, because there are some kids that are super challenging, but that's the main area in which the bipolar diagnosis has been extended. And then it also, in many patients who don't respond to ordinary antidepressants, they'll say that they're what's called bipolar 2, which is that they're bipolar, but they're not manic. In other words, they're just depressed, but it's, you know, they're likely to respond to bipolar meds. So basically, you know, it's kind of when you invent meds that are powerful, it actually ends up extending the diagnosis. You know, it's like now that we have osteoporosis drugs, look how many more women are being diagnosed with osteoporosis. So we're extending the boundaries of disease to encompass more bipolar. I mean, traditionally, bipolar used to be called manic depression, and patients would cycle from mania to depression. That was classic bipolar. Now you could be bipolar if you have a form of depression that's challenging, doesn't respond to conventional antidepressants. But anyway, so we got a big influx of bipolar patients, and it happened I didn't know where they're coming from. And then I realized that many of them had read an article written by one of our former patients in Forbes magazine. And Forbes magazine is very widely read. And this person wrote that initially they came to see me and I said, do this, this, and this. And then they didn't do it. And then they didn't come back. So I didn't really get any follow up from that person. But then the person got re-inspired and kind of got really upset with the side effects of medications and decided to apply all the recommendations that we made, and in the process cured themselves, so they say in the article, of bipolar. And so you know, I didn't even know about this article, and I said, oh my god, there's it's a guy writing an article about our practice. That's why we're getting a lot of calls. So, you know, what are the principles? Well, the principles are in this condition, you really don't want to rock the boat. It's a condition where you really want to create stability. So you don't want to have an abnormal sleep-wake schedule that disrupts the circadian rhythm. You don't want to disrupt blood sugar, so you want a very low-carb diet. You want the brain to feed off of fats as a fuel and not off of sugars. So many of these patients have hypoglycemia, just, you know, takes them right off the rails. You absolutely want to avoid excess caffeine, excess alcohol, because these patients can't handle it. Certainly drugs.
Yeah.
And you want to use lots and lots of fish oil, mega doses of fish oil. You want to go 9, 12 grams of fish oil a day. That has a very, very powerful beneficial effect. And, you know, and then there are, you know, other nutrients that make it. Magnesium is important in these patients, too. It creates stability.
I think a probiotic is a good idea.
Oh, well, certainly. You know, I mean,
upset gut flora, and they go through changes in even personality, even temperament to some degree. And
the other thing is exercise, but not frenetic exercise, because, you know, patients with mania tend to go off on, they sort of binge on exercise. You want sort of like a steady daily routine of exercise to keep the endorphins going and to activate the brain, but not to, you know, over adrenalize the person. And that is something that can really help to manage this condition with minimal medication. I mean, there's some patients who need lithium or other powerful drugs, but it's a condition where some patients can achieve recovery through lifestyle.
Terrific. That's good news then.
Yeah.
Okay. Dr. Hoffman, our next email comes from Rotterdam.
All right.
Yeah, from Bianca.
Okay.
My name is Bianca, and I would like to request your help. I live in the Netherlands and have been battling health problems for 20 years.
Wait, no, are you reading it verbatim? And she writes English that well?
I'm reading it verbatim.
Last week,
I received an injection of immunomodulate. Can you guess what that is? Immune modulate?
Gee, I don't know.
2 milliliters for arthritis.
Wow. Okay.
I
would assume it's like Humira, Remicade,
yeah,
something like
that's,
that.
That's my assumption.
Yeah. It's what's called a TNF alpha inhibitor, right?
I would like to ask your opinion and advice for this, because I wonder if this will work better for me than the prednisone I've been taking for 20 years.
Oh, that's not good. Yeah, the powerful medications are used to spare the need to be on prednisone, because being on prednisone for 20 years is not good for the body.
Yeah.
So, that'll enable this patient to taper or eliminate the prednisone, which is desirable in this case, because prednisone is not doing any good at all. And if 20 years, she's going to have some problems. She's going to have problems with her eyes, with cataracts. She's going to have problems with her bones,
diabetes.
Osteoporosis, diabetes, mood problems, skin thinning, you know, a wide gamut of problems. So it's, I guess, when you can't get off of prednisone, then you have to go to these other drugs. Now, has she tried anything in the natural realm? We would recommend for rheumatoid arthritis a paleo diet, free of nightshades, and we would recommend lots of fish oil, and we would recommend anti-inflammatories like curcumin and boswellin, high dose vitamin D, really high dose, but needs to be monitored. Rheumashield, which is collagen type 2, Moducare, which is an immune modulator. It's made by the same company that makes chiolic aged garlic extract. You can find all these things on our website at drhoffman.com. And I don't know if they deliver. I don't know if we deliver to Netherlands.
To the Netherlands, yeah. I don't know either, actually. But yeah.
Have somebody come over here and pick up a care package for you.
There you go. Come in for a workup.
You know, we do have patients from Europe. We have had patients from. We had a patient from France. We had a patient from Switzerland. It's medical tourism. Africa, yeah.
Africa, Hong Kong.
Right. We had a Chinese patient the other day. So, you know, it's doable.
Yeah.
Medical tourism is a phenomenon. You know, actually, and there are a lot of Americans who go to foreign countries because it's a lot cheaper to have dental work, plastic surgery, certain medical procedures.
Yeah.
Medical tourism is a real phenomenon.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, I have to say, I think we really have great complementary and alternative medicine in this country. I think in some ways we're behind other countries. You know, perhaps China's better in acupuncture and traditional Chinese medicine. Maybe Europe, they do a lot of good herbal work, and they do some very fine innovative cancer work that we're not allowed to do here.
Yeah.
But I got to say, the caliber of complementary alternative medicine practitioners in this country is very high. And we do things. When I first told my colleagues in Europe, you know, I was visiting a German colleague of mine, and she was in she's in Frankfurt, I think. Yeah, it was in Frankfurt. And I told her, no, it was in Berlin, or I think it was Frankfurt. And she had a cold, and I said, oh, why, do you have any intravenous vitamin C? And she said, yes. And I said, well, why don't you give yourself 25 grams of intravenous vitamin C? And she said, oh, my goodness, I can do that? I said, well, what do you mean? She says, well, we usually give like 2 or 3 grams. I said, well, you didn't know that.
You take that by mouth.
yeah, exactly. Well, she thought, you know, intravenously orally works a little better than by mouth. Mm-hmm. But it was like mind-blowing. Oh, high-dose intravenous vitamin C? Yes, you can do that. It's safe. We do it all the time in the States. Okay. And then she did it. And she had to get a lot of little bottles and draw them out and put them into the IV, but she felt better.
Oh, that's good news. Oh, wow. Okay, best of luck to Bianca. Let's see here. This next question is from Paul. Mm-hmm. Dr. Hoffman or Layla, I was wondering if you could answer a question about food sensitivities.
Okay.
I react to just about every FDA-approved food additive in all GMO foods, especially corn. When I eat the offending food, my head buzzes for about 3 days. I can't sleep. I've seen 2 functional medicine doctors and regular MDs about the problem. I have a prescription for Xanax that helps with sleep, and my kitchen cupboard is filled with at least 50 supplements I've tried over the years. The things that are helping are tryptophan with collagen, magnesium taurate, and get this, German beer also helps.
Wow, that German beer, which is laden with yeast and maybe hops, which might be beneficial there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, guess his next sentence is, I was treated for a chronic intestinal yeast overgrowth 15 years ago. How can I calm this reaction?
Oh, well, this sounds like a consultation. Yeah.
Yeah. With all these sensitivities, I would say he's got a leaky gut. Definitely mm-hmm. intestinal permeability.
Right.
Right there, he probably still has a candida problem,
mm-hmm.
which would need to be addressed. Those are the first places. Anybody with many sensitivities.
Yeah, just a thought. Some of these patients respond to oral cromelin, which it's a mast cell inhibitor. It's sometimes used for asthmatics, and generally it's available in vials or flasks. It has to be prescribed, and you drink it down in preparation for taking a meal, and it sometimes helps some patients desensitize. Also, you know, I got to say, this is, if I do get these types of patients who are, they're impossible to treat because they react to every supplement under the sun. And so we don't have any leeway there. They react to every food under the sun. They're so far down the line that, you know, it's very hard for us to treat them. We sometimes refer them for something called NAET, which is something natural allergy elimination therapy or something, or Nambutrapad. That's the name of the practitioner who invented this. Nambutrapad allergy elimination therapy. And, you know, you could say, well, what's the science behind it? I don't quite understand the science behind it. I think, though, that it involves a bit of a reprogramming of the system to begin to get the system to tolerate more foods and to vanquish this, you know, universal reactor kind of syndrome.
Yeah.
And, you know, I find patients that are that far along very hard to work with because they're allergic to everything. They've tried everything under the sun, and they react so profoundly to everything. They have an exaggerated response.
Yeah.
And yet, leaky gut may be part and parcel of that.
I mean, if he's seen 2 functional medicine doctors,
we don't know what was done. We don't know what it was.
Yeah, you
know,
I
see a lot of patients who have been seen by other practitioners before me, and I don't think there's ever a case where I can't find something additional that's worth investigating, because no 2 doctors think alike, and maybe there's a pathway that's worth investigating. I'm not making a pitch for this person to come to see us, because they're challenging patients, but there's a possibility we could turn over a new stone and open things up for them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, best of luck to Paul.
Do we have a short one? Short question?
A short one? Oh, well, I don't know if this is... Let's see. Oh. Can Dr. Hoffman answer questions on his program regarding help for Sjogren's syndrome without using prescription drugs?
Well, Sjogren's syndrome is a condition that we sometimes see. It involves dry mouth and sometimes internal organ damage. And it's dry eyes certainly are a feature of that. It's an autoimmune disease. It's part of the family of collagen vascular diseases that scleroderma and rheumatoid arthritis and lupus belong to, and it responds to Paleolithic diet, high-dose vitamin D, lots of omega-3 fatty acids, and GLA. I find GLA helpful in Sjogren's because it helps to alleviate, it helps to hydrate the skin and the mucous membranes. And those are some of the things that that help that. So, I actually was on a panel once where it was, the discussion was about Sjogren's disease and scleroderma. And it was conventional doctors talking about it. And they wanted to have one complementary alternative physician on the panel. And it was actually at a major hospital with some of the top experts in New York City. And, you know, I was talking about some of the things that can be done. So
how did that go over with them?
You know, I walked in there like thinking I was going to walk into the lion's den. But, you know, they were very respectful. They listened. They recognized that they don't have a perfect cure for Sjogren's. And they're looking. And I was modest in my proposals. I didn't say, oh, you know, never use drugs. There's, you know, and I have like the magical panacea for this condition. I said, well, you know, essential fatty acids help and high dose vitamin D. And I had the research and they like that. You know, they don't like some, oh, you know, my Aunt Sally told me that it worked. You know, she put, you know, onions in her loafers and it really helped to cure her.
Right.
You know, they don't want to hear that. They want scientific evidence, studies, you know, double-blind, placebo-controlled. And I pulled up a few studies that suggested that nutritional support was helpful and that there was a diet component. And they listened, you know.
That's terrific.
Yep.
Yeah.
So that's
the reason. The reason we say paleo diet is more about the elimination of gluten and casein, which is dairy.
Mm-hmm.
Because these are the usual suspects in autoimmunity. But going all the way to paleo, getting rid of yeasted foods, even beans, lentils, things of that nature.
And grain, eliminating grains will also change your intestinal flora for the better.
That's
because,
true.
You know, you may have a candida problem or a bacterial overgrowth problem. And, you know, eating lots of high-fiber fruits and vegetables and nuts and animal protein and getting your calories more from healthy fats rather than sugars will, you know, alter your balance. You know, just parenthetically, and then we have to go. I'm going to interview a young practitioner, a chiropractor, who is a specialist in fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue syndrome. And she herself suffered from very, very severe CFS. And, you know, it was just a, you know, it was a social gathering. And, you know, we were sort of, I was sort of working the room, talking to different people. And I said, I pre-interviewed her and I said, well, you know, I want to get you on my show and I will have her on. Her name is, I think, Dr. Craig. I said, what's the single biggest intervention that turned it around for you? The first question I asked is, how much better are you? She said, I'm like 95% better. She says, I work three jobs.
Fabulous.
You know, she's very dynamic, very energetic. She has lots of clients, and she writes, and she's very active. So she's I established that she was much better. That's good. Because you don't want to talk to someone who said, you know, I'm still suffering from terrible chronic fatigue. Like, okay, if you're such an expert, how come you're feeling so lousy? So she actually, you know, she's tried it all out. And I said, well, what was the biggest single thing that turned, if you had to say one thing, the thing that, and she says, well, I did a lot of things, but the biggest single thing was going paleo. That really turned it around for me in terms of my fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue syndrome. And she also did some things to address her gut imbalances. And she's by no means a one-note Charlie telling people, oh, just go paleo, because there's a lot of things you need to do, and there's a lot of different variations on the theme of fibromyalgia chronic fatigue syndrome. But we'll get her on the air, and she'll discuss it and open
look
our
forward to that.
Listeners up to that perspective. All right, that's all the time we have. So thanks very much for joining us. Thanks for listening to our weekly Q&A with Layla. You've made it the most popular of our intelligent medicine, intelligent medicine podcast. As I said in part one, we ran stats on the top 10 podcasts, and we found that 9 out of 10 of them were Q&A with Layla's Q's and A's with Layla. There's only one Layla, with lots of Q's and A's. Okay, so very good. So Layla, I will see you in the office in probably very few short hours.
Yep.
Looking forward to tackling some of those challenging patients with you at the Hoffman Center.
Yeah, likewise. Thanks, Dr. Hoffman.
My pleasure. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.